Hey y'all, welcome to the Sandy Savage Show. I'm your host, Sandy Savage, and I'm the founder of Savage Life Skills, inspiring and equipping a community of women to learn vintage skills and beloved. I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur, nonprofit founder, business coach, and love everything crafty you could think of. I mean, knitting, quilting, cooking, weaving. I mean, I even like macrame. So, my passion is helping people achieve their goals and live the fullest life possible, whether through coaching them to launch their business ideas, to teaching vintage skills. Membership is open soon to the Pioneers Members Club and Savage Life Skills, so make sure to go to the website, savagelifeskills.com, and sign up on the VIP waitlist. Okay, listen, y'all. Here at the Sandy Savage Show, every week, I want to give you a dose of inspiration and maybe sometimes a kick in the pants. You'll hear interviews, thoughts, lessons learned, and some good old Kentucky wisdom combined with some hard truth. So, let's get started. Hey, y'all. Welcome to episode 2 of the Sandy Savage Show. I'm your host, Sandy Savage. And today is a very special day for me. It's a day that I've waited for 5 years. You see, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2011 and went through a lumpectomy, which actually got all the cancer out. You know, my margins were clear, which means no cancer cells were left, and it hadn't spread anywhere else in my body. But I was diagnosed with triple negative cancer, and it's a rare and aggressive cancer, and they usually treat it very aggressively. You know, triple negative means that the 3 most common types of receptors known to fuel most breast cancer growth, you know, estrogen, progesterone, and the HER2 gene, they're not present in the cancer tumor, so they don't know what caused it. They only know they need to treat it aggressively. So, at the point after a lumpectomy, most women wouldn't have to have a mastectomy. My doctors told me that I should have a full double mastectomy. A month after my lumpectomy, I started some rounds of chemo, and, you know, yes, I lost my hair, my fingernails detached. Oh my gosh, by the way, which is something that I hadn't been told would happen, it freaked me out. Oh my gosh. You know, and after my last chemo, I waited to heal in order for my body to go through the much harder 6-hour surgery of the double mastectomy. So 5 years ago today, July 10th on 2012, my body would forever change. You know, I woke up very early in the morning. Tim and I got in the car and we drove to the hospital. You know, my body had started to recuperate from the rounds of chemo, and I was able to handle the surgery. I had a little bit of hair growing back, and I was feeling stronger. My fingernails were still detached from the skin. You know, it made a gap that went all the way down to that little white moon, you know, that everybody has. Eventually, after everything, they did grow out and reattach, but that was so strange. Anyway, that day that I drove up to do my double mastectomy and my reconstruction, that day was 5 years ago today. Now, I know the 5-year mark is really important. You know, when you hit the 5-year mark of being cancer-free, your survival rate is high and you have a much less chance of reoccurrence, as most cancer reoccurrences happen in the first 5 years. You know, I remember asking my doctors, you know, when can I start counting down to that 5 years, you know? And she let me know, typically, you can start counting on the day of your last treatment, whether that's your last chemo, last surgery, etc. So, 5 years ago today was the last thing that I did. It was my surgery. And that means that today is my 5-year mark of being cancer-free. Gosh, back to that day, I mean, and how I was feeling. Listen, I had been in so many meetings with multiple doctors. I had been stuck so many times with multiple needles. I really don't like needles still. But I knew that this day was different. You know, I was heading into that It was an almost 6-hour surgery. Tim and I were in loads of prayer, as well as having an entire prayer team on text messaging, just keeping people, you know, in the loop. And we got to the hospital, and I put on that, you know, standard hospital gown, and they started to put me under. And then I remember them moving me from the stretcher, you know, with the wheels on it, onto the cold middle of the surgical table and seeing, you know, the big light over me. And then the meds kicked in, and I woke up hours later. So the details of what happened in those hours are pretty graphic. You know, you can skip to the next minute or so if you get queasy, but I know that some of y'all like the medical detail of things, so I'll let you know. Here's the deal. What the doctors were able to do with me was not typical. You know, there were lots of factors about my body structure that made it possible to have a double mastectomy and reconstruction in the same surgery. You know, before I had turned 30, I had implants put in. So at the time of my double mastectomy, I was a size E. And because of the amount of skin they had to work with, it made it possible that I could have immediate reconstruction in that same surgery. For most women who go through a mastectomy, they then have to go through months of reconstruction, you know, stretching the skin to make an implant feasible, but I didn't have to do that. You know, first, one doctor, my Dr. AJ, he went in to perform the double mastectomy. And what that means is they made the incisions and completely removed all the tissue. And it takes quite a time. I mean, they have to do it at a cellular level. Usually for the surgery, they make an incision from under the arm straight across to the chest bone on each breast. For me, because of the amount of tissue, my incisions were like the ones they make for reductions, like an anchor, from the middle and down around the bottom. So the entire skin reshaping process cut away about a third of the skin. So after Dr. AJ was done removing all the tissue, my plastic surgeon, Dr. Levon, began to work on me. So my original implants were over the muscle, so they still had to separate the muscle from underneath to put the new implants in. They have implants of different sizes, and she evaluated right there in the moment of the surgery which fit my body and my body structure the best. I'd given her permission to do that before the surgery. So, you know, after everything was done, I still ended up a D, which is better than an E, trust me, for my back. She then added a layer of Alloderm, and that is it's a human-derived biological tissue from a cadaver. It's chemically treated and devoid of cells, leaving behind just the collagen protein. So it's safe, and it really changed the way that many plastic surgeons do breast reconstruction with implants. You know, it adds like an extra structure underneath the implants to make sure everything is super supported. So at that point, the surgical team sat me up, you know, while I was still out, to make sure everything was in its, natural placement, and then laid me back down. They put drainage tubes in and stitched me back up. So for the next 2 weeks, I would empty and measure the fluid that came out of the tubes on each side and gather in little plastic receptacles that were held in a pocket of my surgical bra. They were removed 2 weeks later by Dr. Levon. So when I woke up, Tim was there beside me as he was through the entire time he was beside me. Every appointment, every chemo, everything. I mean, gosh, he really is the most amazing man and husband, y'all. It was slow coming out of the anesthesia, and the next 2 days were really hard. I was in a lot of pain, and they really ended up keeping me in the hospital an extra day to kind of observe my recovery because I was in so much pain. A lot of the pain was caused by a nerve pinch actually in my back from the surgical table and not the actual surgery itself. I couldn't breathe. You know, when you have a pinched nerve, how it hurts to take a deep breath. But I had to breathe deeply with this plastic device to make sure that my lungs were exercising. I actually had to use that little gadget for a few weeks, a few times a day. And for those few weeks after the surgery, I slept propped up with a pillow like on my chest. So my little bitty sweetie cats, Pip and Leonidas, wouldn't jump on me, you know, in the middle of the night. But I was able to stop taking the pain medications after the fourth day. So when I went in to have the tubes removed, my doctor told me I was healing at a very fast rate. And I was like, it is God. Like, that is just God right there, because we've been praying. Now, I'll tell you, 5 years later, and everything is so different. You know, we have seen so much, and it's only getting better. You know, I just want to give a big thank you to everyone who has continually been there during those past seasons and just loving us. This upcoming season is going to be astounding, and we really appreciate those who have been in it with us through everything. You know, cancer was hard. It was really hard. But Jesus is stronger. No matter what circumstance is happening in your day or your month or your season, you really can move forward. You can overcome it, and you can thrive through it. You're stronger than you think. You know, the three things that I did to get through cancer, and I believe three things you can do in most every situation that you find yourself in, is this. Number one, no matter what you're in, you got to have a plan. I had a plan. You know, it was when we found out about the cancer, like, it was really hard. And I remember going, okay, gosh, just give me the plan. It was the unknown that was driving me crazy. So after talking to my doctors, they gave me a solid plan of what we were going to do. We're going to have the lumpectomy. We're going to do these rounds of chemo. We're going to have a double mastectomy and a reconstruction, and then you will be done. And that was my plan. So I knew that if I just stepped out the plan, it would all be fine. You know, so make a plan of action to get yourself through your situation. It may be a concrete plan, like my cancer treatments were. Or it could be a mental plan, like calling someone every day just to check in and let someone else know how you're doing. Make a plan for wherever you find yourself. Number two, pull people in. You know, don't bottle your feelings up. You have to talk to someone. Really, the person I talked to the most was my amazing husband and a few trusted people in my life. I wasn't blasting everything out there on Facebook, but I was talking to people and making sure I didn't stuff my feelings down where they could get big and nasty, but I let people in to share my pain, and it made me feel like I wasn't alone. I know a lot of times we want to keep everything inside. We want to keep everything hidden. But what it does is that just festers and it gets worse, and you think about it and you think about it and you're like, this thing is constantly on your mind. But when you get it out and you talk to other people, that may be hard to do, but it's going to be worth it. Number three, trust God in the hard. Listen, I'm not sure where you are on your spiritual journey, but for me, I know every day I have to lean on Jesus. And in that time, I knew he was the only thing that gave me true peace. When I was diagnosed, I mean, you better believe I was mad at God. I was like, after everything I have been through, now I have to go through this? Are you kidding me? If you know anything about my life before, which if you don't, that's great. We'll talk about it in some future podcasts. If you know anything about my past, you know, you were in that same spot going, oh my gosh, does she have to go through one more thing? I had people telling me that. I was like, yes, one more thing. But I knew that God does work things together for good, and that even with cancer, some good could come from it. One night I heard really clearly, "Sandra, you gave your life and heart over to me, April 27th in 2003. And that was the day the battle was already won for everything. So be strong and courageous." And I mean, that about flipped me on my head. I was like, okay. This battle's already won. I can just do the things I need to do and trust, whether the outcome was what I wanted or not. You know, Joshua 1:9 in the NLT puts it like this. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, hear that God says in this verse that it was a command and not a suggestion. You know, like, could you be a little bit strong and courageous? You know, just a little bit. I mean, maybe, you know, if you want to or anything like that. No. I mean, he was like, be strong and courageous. It was a command. And at that moment, I really, you know, I did. I came to peace with what was happening. And I knew that after everything I had been through, that I was strong. And if my cancer in any way helped other people who were going through that hardship, I could deal with it. And so that's what I did. And now today, I finally reached that 5-year mark. Whew. I'm so thankful. And I'm so blessed. You know, as a side note, guys, if you want to find out anything about what a relationship with Jesus means and what it could mean for you, just reach out. Just email me, and I would be glad to talk to you about it. My email is sandy@sandysavage.com. Super easy. That's with an I. So it's sandy@sandysavage.com. Just shoot me an email. And listen, you can always shoot me an email. If something, you know, hits you in any of these podcasts and you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to tell her this, or I'd love to ask this question, just do it. You know, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you all. Listen, a life with Jesus doesn't mean that things get easy, but it does mean that you can have peace in all the hard. So again, going back through the three things that I did that I think anybody could do in any situation is, number one, have a plan. Number two, pull people in. And number three, trust God in the hard. And y'all, if you don't know how to do that yet, you can learn. So I'm an excited, happy woman today. And I am alive and I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful that I get to share my journey with you. So I will see y'all next week. Love you. Bye. All right, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. I hope you had a fantastic time. So don't forget to get on the VIP waitlist for the Pioneer Members Club over at Savage Life Skills and join us in having a blast. Come check it out. And I'll see you over there. Have a great day.